This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is Thursday, and I know it's been a tough 24 hours for a lot of people in this country. We are all still mourning the loss of innocent life in Uvalde, Texas, and we're certainly going to continue discussing what occurred at that elementary school on Tuesday afternoon. And as I'm sure you're all aware, there are a lot of conflicting reports. There's a lot of information that's kind of fluid coming out, you know, on social media from certain outlets. And we're going to be very careful about how we discuss this because I don't want to disparage an entire, you know, police department or even these individual police officers if this information could keep changing. With that said, we are going to talk about the reports that are emerging that the cops that arrived on the scene waited outside the school and that parents were understandably screaming at them to go inside and stop the shooter. And it does make me think of the day this occurred because we had seen a report about the shooting very early in the day and then it kind of went off the news for a while. And at the time I had thought that the shooter must have just been stopped. But what actually occurred was that he was in there for a very, very long time. And the video of the parents, I did watch it just because I feel like I have a responsibility before I come on here to be able to talk about it. But I totally understand why people couldn't bring themselves to watch that because there's just nothing worse. It is unthinkable that you'd be out there knowing what's occurring inside or at least having an idea of it and just feeling completely helpless. So there definitely needs to be investigations into this. There needs to be accountability. And if that is the case, like I said, I can't fathom the sheer desperation of those parents outside that school. We'll talk to a retired NYPD officer today and get his take on this entire thing. But yesterday, and I think the reason I'm opening with this is because yesterday I did talk a lot about having armed security guards, having police officers at school. And I think that as far as that conversation goes, I will admit that none of these solutions that I've been reading about from, you know, conservative outlets, from certain people who have a background in school safety measures, none of these solutions account for the scenario like we saw it in Parkland that some officers are not going to act in the same way that the Border Patrol officer who ended up taking out this shooter did. You know, that is a factor in all of this, and I fully admit that. So we're going to be very diplomatic about it because this could all change as we get more information. And like I said, there should be investigations into this to find out more. But I would love to hear how you are all feeling, what your takes are, what parts of this story you want to discuss. And it's 844-500-4242. Other aspects of this conversation that I've been reading a lot about involve the mental health problem in this country. The parenting problem in this country that I think is becoming a major part of this debate. The mother in this case said she didn't think her son was a violent person. And I can't lie to you, that kind of headline just, you know what, you know who put it really well was a caller yesterday. It just shows you the shift in from generation to generation. And I know that every generation like thinks that the country's going to hell and that's just kind of how it works. But there is something unique about where we are right now where a guy called in yesterday and said, if I was at the kitchen table with my parents, they knew everything that was going on. They could tell if you were off a little bit. They could tell if you were angry. They could tell if something was up. They had antennas up. And I do think that having those antennas is very important as a kid is going through high school. You know, they're online all the time. The internet has added such a different layer to this conversation. And one person I followed yesterday put out, and of course, when you put things out on Twitter, you get a million responses. A lot of people are not coming at it from a place of actually having a discussion. They're just being gross. But there were good comments beneath it. The person said, you know, when this happened in Columbine in the 1990s, it was really the first time we had seen something like this. And since then, we've had it. It's become more and more apparent. And Maureen Callahan actually had a piece in the New York Post where she said, it's not a bug anymore. It's a feature of our country. And that's a scary thought, but there is truth to it. And someone in the comments wrote, the internet was a huge part of it. And I do tend to think that a lot has changed since people are at home, on their computers, alone, in these weirdo communities where they feel like they have friends, but it's very violent and very strange. And I think that is a part of it. And beyond just parents, beyond your family looking out for you and saying, hey, something's up with, you know, Joe, we gotta, whatever. It also should be a community thing. And I think we have lost a lot of aspects of community in this country over the last few decades. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not breaking the mold here. Most people have had these thoughts before and have written about it. And you're welcome to chime in if I'm missing something. But another more specific question in this case is, how did this 18-year-old man afford these rifles? They're over $2,000. We haven't had answers on that yet. I know a reporter from Fox has been trying to figure that one out. And there are people who say, well, you know, it doesn't matter at this point because the horrible atrocity has already occurred. But I think the more we find out, we need all these details. It's always good to be informed about it, especially if we're actually going to try to make progress going forward. We need to know how all this occurred. And there is an argument that I have talked to Toby about today. I've talked to Howie about it. I would love to talk to the callers about it if people want to weigh in. I'm open to hearing both sides of the argument. And it's about the 18-year-old aspect, that this kid was 18 and he was able to get this gun legally, and should the age be higher? Now, here are the two sides that I see it. One side says, of course, like, you don't want an 18-year-old buying these two rifles, and they're already kind of mentally underdeveloped at that point. You can't really rent a car, I don't think, until you're 25. I understand all that. The other side, of course, says he would have gotten one anyway, or you can go to war at 18, you can have a beer at 21, but you can go to war at 18, you should be able to own a weapon at 18. Understand both sides, but if people have a really strong opinion on that, that's also something we can discuss today. Now, the other kind of outside parts of this story, everything about this story is horrific, but there are some things that just didn't need to occur afterwards. That would include Beto O'Rourke shamelessly showing up to that press conference. We played it yesterday, but there have been a lot of reactions. Of course, the mainstream media thought he did a great thing. You know, he's a hero to them, which tells you all you need to know about them. There is something really empty and sad about a person who would go to a community that is hurting so badly and look for a photo opportunity and look for, you know, some press coverage. That's a really empty person. Now, when we talk about horrible takes on this, you have to mention Barack Obama right from the get-go. I mean, the tweet that he put out last night, I thought it was a parody. I didn't even respond to it because I thought, there's no way this is true. If you haven't seen it, Barack Obama wrote, or whoever controls his Twitter. And by the way, I don't care how many followers you have. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how famous you are. You should not let anyone control your Twitter except for yourself. Because if this was the brainchild of someone that's, you know, I don't know who his right-hand man is. I know it's not Eric Holder anymore, his wingman, but I don't know who's in his little circle who would be controlling his Twitter. So I have to assume it's him. But if this was someone else, like an intern or something, fired on the spot. I would never. I always think about that, Jared. Like, you know how we have things we like to tweet out about the show and whatever? And sometimes I think about passing it on to someone and saying, hey, can you tweet this out? Can you tweet this out? No. I only trust myself to tweet it out. Because then you can't say, oh, well, it wasn't me. I didn't make that mistake. If this was Barack, though, let me read you the tweet. He says, as we grieve the children of Uvalde today, we should take time to recognize that 2 years have passed since the murder of George Floyd under the knee of a police officer. His killing stays with all of us to this day, especially those who loved him. What a terrible, terrible take. It's almost like I have no words for that. I can't even explain. I shouldn't have to explain why you don't do that. It should just be something you understand.
And it's not even that you tweet about the anniversary of George Floyd. Fine, feel free to do that. But don't conflate it with or include it with a tweet about grieving for children that died yesterday.
19 innocent children and two teachers who died.
It would have been
yesterday. Yes, it would have been yesterday when he was tweeting it. No, right. It's shameful. It's gross. How do you even get there? I would love to know if he was the actual person who tweeted this.
He is the Twitter president, so I...
And this is the tweets we're getting from him. Now, we also have Biden commenting on George Floyd's anniversary. The president, President Unity, as I like to call him, he was being even more divisive than usual, and that's really saying something for him. We'll play those sound cuts as we go. Other topics, we're not gonna focus the entire show today on this, and I don't say it because... I don't say it as if it's not the most important story of the day. It absolutely is. And I don't want anyone to get confused by that. But we are going to try, at least in some segments of today's show, to bring you a little bit of, you know, maybe a few laughs. I know that's not something that is really easy right now, but we're going to try our best. On other topics, and that would include the first quarter GDP. They're using a new terminology to describe these numbers. It's not unexpected. We'll give you a clue into what that is when we come back. Biden's poll numbers. Michael Sussman trial is also in the news. So we have a lot to talk about. 844-500-4242. I see everyone on the lines already. I'm very excited to talk to you. Let's talk about this. I want your ideas. I want your opinions on everything that's coming out. Again, it is a fluid situation. I've been watching a lot of Fox this morning, and Lawrence Jones is doing a great job. He's in Texas right now. And he said, you know, I'm not going to start casting judgment on people until we know what's going on, which I think is a good way to handle it. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with your calls. Thank you for tuning in today. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Constantly flummoxed, I'm perplexed, I'm baffled by the fact that people who I barely want to watch on TV give a press conference somehow feel as though they have enough fans to write books. That one blows my mind. And I'm talking about people like Andrew Cuomo, whose book always ends up in like the 50% off bin. But I guess Charlie Baker has a book. I didn't even know about this. I just had to Google it. And the title is laughable.
Did this just happen?
Results, getting beyond politics to get important work done. Well, we have an Amazon book review of Charlie Baker's new book, and it's a one-star review by Pierre Delecto Jr., and I'm going to read it to you in just a little bit. But first, let's go to the callers here. Dana, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. First up, actually, today. Go ahead, Dana.
Oh, hi, Grace. I love your show. I heard you yesterday about the mental health aspects of this whole scenario with the shootings. And I got to tell you, I think you're spot on with that. I can remember growing up in East Boston, there were two mental health facilities, one that was inpatient, one that was outpatient, that actually helped these people. Because a lot of times, people, they don't even realize they need help. And they're just walking among us in society. until we get that, the mental health situation back where it was years ago to actually help these people, none of this is ever going to change. A gun is a gun, and this kid was going to get it come hella high water no matter how he got it. The issue that I have is between Democrat, Republican, everybody's blaming everybody else on both sides. This is a societal, a humanitarian issue. This isn't blaming a Democrat for having too many gun laws or Republicans for not having enough gun laws. This has to come down to human decency, and that's the part where Democrats and Republicans never see eye to eye, the human aspect of this. And that's what burns me so bad. It's like, how many times are we going to keep going through this? They don't want to put metal detectors in school because it's going to scare the kids. So we got to keep going through this because they can't find a common ground. It's ridiculous. Nothing's ever going to change until the mental health aspect is absolutely handled in this country. And I know years ago it was. As of 2022, it's a complete mess.
Yeah, Dana, really well said. And there's a piece by Maureen Callahan in the New York Post. I don't agree with every aspect of it, but I agree with some of her main points. And one of them, she talks about that. And she says, I just want to read you this last part. She's talking about this sickness that we have of these young men who are very violent and angry and clearly unstable. And she says, it does have to be understood. We have to conquer this. America needs a concerted effort, a multi-pronged task force of specialists whose only job is to study this sickness as unique as a virus and find a way, if not to eradicate it, to contain it and prevent it. Why are we allowing our children to suffer such carnage? What will it take for America to fight for them? And I think that that hits on what Dana's saying as well, which is we need to try to understand this and we need to try to fix the problem here. And I know that gun reform after these things, the support for gun reform goes up. But and I hate oversimplifying it. I hate throwing out these things that I know everyone's heard a million times. But, you know, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. And that is true. I mean, you look at places like Chicago, where the gun laws are the strictest in the country. It's not working there. And maybe there's a counter argument to that. I'm open to hearing it. But for me, that's kind of the baseline. If we try it in certain places and it fails miserably, then we've got to start trying other things. And I agree with Dana about the blaming. Like, we spend so much time trying to find a way to flip it, to blame each other. And I mentioned earlier, Jared, that I was watching Lawrence B. Jones today. I really like him. I met him at Talkers once. He's a really nice guy. He does a good job. And he was talking about that blame game and saying, oh, you know, this person has blood on their hands. This person has blood on their hands. This guy, this nutcase has blood on his hands. We have to start remembering. And something he said this morning that really struck me, he said, everybody wants a villain, and we have a villain. It's this guy. And I do get that. I do get the desire to blame, you know, the other political party, but that's not going to fix the issue. We've got to put things on the table, and Republicans have to be proactive too, whether that means metal detectors, whether that means, you know, bulletproof doors or one entry. I know they're getting made fun of on social media for that. I don't know all the things it means. We're going to talk to Andrew Pollack about it later on in the show, but we can't sit back and say these things happen. You know, that's not the way to handle it. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with all of your calls. Keep calling in. I love hearing from you, especially on days like today. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. All right, we're going to take your calls in this hour. We've got a lot of sound to play as well. Let's go to Lori. Lori, you're next up on The Grace Curley Show. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Lori.
Hi, Grace. I'm going to turn down my radio, right? Is that the best way?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, I want to wish you a pre-happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Lori.
I am just calling because I'm confused. Here we are. You're having a sensitive and very intuitive conversation about what happened in Texas and just about guns and, you know, just appreciating the enormity and the sadness of it. And then next thing I know, there's a gun fair commercial, which I've never heard on RKO ever, and I'm a regular listener. So I just, it just struck me as being a little insensitive, and maybe you don't have control over who your advertisers are, but never in my life have I heard a gun commercial, especially today. Like, it just seemed just a little out of place.
Yeah,
so
I appreciate the call, Lori. I don't know. I think that is our commercial. We do have a lot of lawful gun owners who do enjoy, you know, the gun range and those events, and they are all, you know, it's something that people like to do, and it's responsible gun ownership. That's always what, you know, Cape Gunworks promotes. That's always what we promote. Very different than what we're seeing right now. I appreciate the fact that if it offended you, if you think it's insensitive, I don't necessarily want to tell you that you're wrong, because that's, you have every right to feel that way. But that's where we're coming from. And I do appreciate the call, Lori. And I understand that there's a lot of stuff right now that makes people feel angry and makes people want to fight. And I'm open to hearing it. But as far as that goes, a lot of these guys who own guns, and I'm speaking not from my own personal experience, I don't own any guns, but I'm married to someone who does, and I'm, you know, friends with a lot of people who do. These are not the people that are doing these type of things. These are people who are incredibly obsessed with gun safety, incredibly obsessed with doing things the right way, of teaching people about guns, of kind of taking the stigma away from the gun, taking the power away from the gun, putting the power in the hands of a responsible person. And so I just think to conflate the two is incorrect. But I really appreciate the call, and I hope we get more of that. Let's go to David. You're next up on The Grace Curley Show. No, we'll wait on David. Let's go to Anne. Annie, you're next up on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Annie.
Hi, Grace. How are you? It's Annie from Lowell. I love your show.
Oh, thank
I just
you.
Wanted to speak about what you had said about the antenna with the parents.
Yeah.
My daughter, our daughter, is schizophrenic, and she had the typical psychotic breakdown when she was about 20 years old. Runs in the family, unfortunately. But as you said with the antennas, we knew when she was going to be hospitalized. She had depression. We addressed that. She's doing great today because of the right medication she's on. She has a job, and she lives by herself, and she's a wonderful girl. So these things have definitely got to be addressed, Grace, and you were so right about the parents being so aware of their children's environment and what they're thinking and what they're listening to. And that's all I wanted to say.
Annie, and something I want to add in here, because I just had this conversation with Howie. I also know people who suffer from schizophrenia, and they've, fortunately for them, they've been surrounded by parents like you who are very in tune with what they need and get them all the proper help. But in some of these situations, people don't have that. And that is the mental health part of this that really needs to be addressed, because not everyone is as fortunate as your daughter to have parents who are looking out for them. And in a lot of cases, and this is another part of it, with medication, it takes a long time, especially with SSRIs, to build up, to figure out if it's going to have an effect on you. People with depression deal with that. They try one out for a couple months. It might work. It might not. Not everything's a cure-all. And I think that for people to be aware, and in the case of this man, this monster, this 18-year-old, there were signs leading up to this. He's got cuts on his face that he did himself. He's, you know, posting these things online that are very alarming. And I do think that, and I wonder? I wonder sometimes if teachers, because of how sensitive everyone is now, if some teachers are afraid to even approach someone like that or bring up something like this with a fear of being offensive or a fear of being considered crossing a line, you know, or saying something, because see something, say something can easily turn into, well, you're just being judgmental, or, you know, you're just being XYZ. And I do think that sometimes plays into it too, that we've all lived in this world where you don't know what you should say, you don't know what you should do, so you leave it to someone else. You say, you know what, it's not none of my business. And that is a lot of times when people fall through the cracks too, is when no one says. And I was talking to, this is a little off topic, but kind of on the same thing. I was talking to a friend I know I always say I was talking to a friend, but they all are different people. I just can't say their names on the air. And this person really grew up in a low-income household, but, you know, very lovely family, of course, and made a nice life for themselves. But this person said to me, everyone who becomes really successful, but who is from, you know, a broken home or a low-income household, but they manage to break out of it, a lot of times it's because someone in their life, like a mentor, took an active interest in being part of their life and an active role. You know, like big brothers, big sisters, that kind of thing. That can really help people. And not in every situation, I'm not saying that, but I mean, God bless people who do that, who see someone and say, something's not right with this person, we need to get this person help. And I think that in the current way we live, a lot of us are less inclined to do that because we kind of just want to keep to ourselves. Now, what factors into that? Is it the internet? Is it other things? Yeah, of course. But that's part of it as well. David, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Grace. I'm just a couple of thoughts. If this young man didn't have access to the gun, it's still not going to take away his murderous intent that he had. Something snapped with this young man. He's an 18-year-old young man. 8 years ago, he was 10. My suspicion is that I've heard that he supposedly had some kind of impediment or speech impediment. I'm suspicious that he might have been somewhat bullied in school, maybe made fun of, maybe mocked on Facebook and Twitter. Isolation. Mom is on drugs. Dad's not around. Here's this kid rejected maybe by his peers and his family, and the fact that he was cutting himself is a sign of self-hatred, and he's just angry, and he's this really wounded person, and then he just snaps. He's a walking time bomb, and people are blaming the gun. It was only instrument. He would have, if it wouldn't have access to the gun, maybe he would have taken a car or some other thing. The thing is, this kid, something happened to him. They need to really study what were the influences on his life. I'm not making excuses, but this isn't such abnormal behavior. This is a wounded individual that might have been bullied, beat up, who knows, but there's a reason why he reacted this way, is what I'm saying. People really need to understand what the hell happened to this kid in his life. Mom's on drugs. Was she on drugs because of some drug dealer came across the border?
Okay, now hold on. I don't want to speculate on things we don't know about. I really don't want to do that. I understand the general point you're making, which is we don't understand what happened in this kid's life. With that being said, there's a lot of people who are bullied. There's a lot of people who have rough upbringings who do not have this demonic streak in them to want to go into a school and slaughter people. And I just want to put that out there because this whole idea, like even the mom saying, I didn't know he was violent. Well, I'm not really buying that. I'm not. And there was plenty of red flags in this case. There were plenty of, you know, incidents that would have kind of clued you into this. We have a parenting problem. We really do. Yeah, that's all I have to say on that. I just don't want to speculate too much because there's a lot of information we don't know yet. Carl, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Carl. Are you there, Carl? All right, let's go to Jim. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Hello, Grace.
Yep, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Grace, thanks for taking my call. Look, I'm a conservative on most issues, but I think we need more gun control. You know, and I think that part of the problem is that we have to fix this problem. And I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, but I'm sick and tired of hearing Republicans bash Democrats, even if they have a good idea. And I'm sick and tired of Democrats like Barack Obama and Beto O'Rourke trying to make a political statement or making a show-off to make themselves look good like O'Rourke did. I mean, we got to stop doing this. When somebody comes up with a good idea, we got to act on it. Because you know what's going to happen, Grace? We got two opposing camps in this country. And let me tell you something. I'm in my 60s. I may live another 30 years. I was just thinking this morning, this country is never going to be united because you got two opposing camps that hate and despise one another. So it's up to your generation to bring everybody together, bring everybody to the table. And if someone has a good idea, they have a good idea.
Right.
And I think Dana was the best caller that you had because Dana from East Boston, because she hit on this. You know, we got to start calling the other side bad just because they're of a different political party. Now, to go back to, like, what David was saying, you're right. He's right. You know, maybe the mother was on drugs. Let me tell you something, okay? I came from a family, but I also – a nuclear family, but I also came from a huge extended family. And when I was a teenager and a young man, if I started acting like I was off the rails, one of my aunts or one of my uncles would have gone to my parents and say, there's something wrong with your kid. What's the problem with them? You see? But you got too many families, that nuclear families, people move away from their hometowns. They got, you know, they're living these lives where they're cut off from other loved ones.
Yeah.
And they can't do it. They mean they can't do it. Look, you know, I don't want to say Hillary was right. You know, it takes a community to raise a child. I don't want to give that woman credit for anything. But I will tell you this, you know, extended family is a good thing.
Yeah,
it really is. And we don't.
And Jim, I want to just say something right now, though. I don't have any information about the mother of this shooter in regards to drugs. So I have to back away from that one completely until we know more. If someone has something on that, send it to me. But I have not seen that. So I need to distance myself from that right away. As far as the extended community, an extended family, I completely agree. Family is the foundation of everything. You know, having a supportive family around you. Might not always agree with them, might not always get along with them, but having them there is the greatest gift you can have in life. You're already in the green if you've got a great family. And I think that we need to rally around people who don't have that. We need to look out for each other. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Dan. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Thanks for taking the call, Grace. I believe that the family core has been destroyed. You've hit upon it as I've been listening to you. I think corporate America has a lot to do with it because let's face it, back in the day when there were no problems with kids running into schools and shooting, the mothers used to be at home. They had part-time jobs. They would, you know, take care of the kids. They'd watch them. They'd, you know, they had a vested interest in their family. Yes, they did work, but I think that it's now become a two-income situation to make it, and you've sacrificed mom because you've turned her into a, you know, being obligated to a full-time job, leaving the kids in someone else's hands that basically doesn't have a vested interest, like a grandmother or an aunt or a sister or a brother or anybody that's in the family. You have that closer bond, and I think that, you know, we really need to get back to a situation where family's important, that we need to measure out how much time that mom is spending with the kids.
And all right, so do have some. Sorry, Dan, we're just running short on time. I do want to push back on that a little bit because I know plenty of families where both parents, including my husband, his both parents worked his whole childhood. And I think you can, without a doubt, raise wonderful, well-adjusted kids with both parents working. Your larger point about, you know, families being involved in kids' lives, I do understand. But as someone who hopes to have children one day and is probably going to be a working mom, I'm going to push back on that idea. 844-500-4242. And something I wanted to say about the other caller, he said we can't just keep blaming people if someone has a good idea, they have a good idea. 1,000% agree. And also think that we really need to try that in a lot of aspects of politics where we need to support people who come up with good ideas, even if they're on the other side. What I will say is, though, just as a little bit of pushback on that topic, they don't really have a good idea. Not one that I've seen. I haven't seen any ideas. Show me the idea. Is the idea to put a 30,001 book law on the books? 30,001? Because that to me is not a good idea. If there was one, though, I'd be more than willing to hear it out. 844-500-4242. Stay on the lines. We'll get right back to your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Grace Curley is your perfect lunch day.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
Nothing for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Law Office of Jeffrey Miller. Everyone can go through bad times, but that doesn't mean you're a bad person. Attorney Jeff Miller represents good people in bad times. You can reach him at MillerCriminalDefense.com. That's MillerCriminalDefense.com. Attorney Jeff Miller, reasonable doubt at a reasonable price. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's your favorite euphemism for a Biden disaster? Worse than thought, unexpected, or worse than expected?
That is the new way they're framing the GDP. The GDP declined 1.5%, and they're saying worse than thought, which I was like, oh, so unexpected has left the building. I'm going to say unexpected is my go-to.
Unexpected in the lead at 55%, 31% for worse than expected, and 14% for worse than thought.
Jenny, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jenny.
Hi, Grace. I just wanted to mention a few points, if I could, that kind of all circle around and stem off of the same. You know, you had a caller a couple calls ago that said we should really try and understand. I say no to that. He was 18. He knows right from wrong. I don't care what his bringing up was. I'm not that harsh, but I grew up in a terrible domestic situation. There were six of us. We still had, once in a while, we had family dinners. You know, it was on again, off again. Either way, even when you're 2 years old, you're 4 years old, you're 6 years old, whether an adult told you, you know, that's hot water, don't touch it. That's a hot pan, don't touch it. That's glass, don't touch it. You know right from wrong.
Right.
So there, he had his jealousy of other families or kids or why he took it on them, who knows. I think he just, whether he snapped or not, I think that, you know, sound from one some of the news that's been reported, it sounds like it was a little bit of a pity party type thing that, you know, you have to teach your kids your skin needs to be thicker than, you know, than your feelings always getting hurt. Because, you know, not everyone, you're not going to get along with everybody all of your life. And your feelings are going to get hurt. And some people are going to like you and some people are not.
Yeah, and I think, Jenny, your example of just knowing right from wrong from a young age is true. I mean, this guy was clearly a monster. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with John Cardillo to talk about the police outside this school. Don't go anywhere.